We just have a few announcements this morning. Our Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday, November 20th at 7 p.m. We're going to continue our study of the parables of Jesus in the New Testament and what we can learn from them. So there are handout sheets on the back podium. Please take one if you're planning to come to the Bible study and complete it in the next few days. If you're not able to come, please help yourself to one. It's a great study to work on at home on your own as well. Continue to pray for God's leading in our search for a pastor, and we are continuing that search, and we know that God is leading us in this direction, so we thank him for his faithfulness. Today is the very last day for Samaritan purse shoe boxes to be turned in case anybody still has one that they haven't turned in. So thank you to everyone who contributed to this worthwhile cause and to Mary, who's taking care of getting them into where they need to go. Our speaker next Sunday will be Mr. Wendell Phipps, and we look forward to having him back. And today we're so blessed to have Stuart Cameron with us. So thank you so much for coming this morning. At this time, let's go to God in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your presence here, and we just pray that we will feel your Holy Spirit here as we continue in music and as we read your word and hear the message that's being brought forth this morning. So we just thank you for Stuart and the message you've laid on his heart. And Lord, we just pray that you'll prepare our hearts this morning to receive that message and to take the truth from your word that you want us to hear and apply it to our lives this morning. So Lord, we thank you that your word is a living word, that it speaks to us under every circumstance when we spend time in your word. So Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just ask that you help us to be constantly in your word every day. Lord, we just thank you for all of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for this beautiful fall weather and the beauty that we see around us in the trees as they turn color. And Lord, as we prepare to go into another season of winter, we just know that we continue to see your beauty in every season. And Lord, it's difficult to believe that people can't see that you exist just through the beauty in nature itself. But Lord, we just thank you that that's evidence of you. Lord, we also thank you for the evidence of you that we see in our own lives, that you transform our lives, that you draw us to yourself, and Lord, that your word speaks to us. So Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we just ask that through this service and each and every day as we spend time in your word, that you will continue to speak to us, draw us closer to you. Lord, perfect us in ways that we can't change in our own lives without your miraculous intervention. So Lord, we thank you that we can only attempt to live lives that are pleasing to you, but we can't do it without your Holy Spirit living in us. So Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us guidance and brings your word to mind at times when we need it. Lord, we just thank you for this church family, and Lord, we just pray for physical needs within our church family that we may not know about, and we pray for Jim and Carol that you bless them, and for Judy in the nursing home. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon her this morning. Lord, we just, and for Karen that's not here today, Lord, we just know that there are cares and concerns with our family members that that maybe is something that's not even shared with the church family, but Lord, you know those needs, and you can reach in and touch our physical bodies, but also touch our spiritual nature as well. So Lord, just not only bring physical healing where it's needed, but also bring spiritual growth and healing where that's needed as well in the lives of people within our church family. Lord, we thank you for the church in this neighborhood, and Lord, we just pray that it'll be a beacon that that can draw people that are needing to seek after you into this place. Lord, we just pray that you'll continue to help us be a loving and welcoming church family to each person that comes through these doors. And Lord, we just thank you for the fellowship that we have with one another. Lord, we pray for this neighborhood and people in our neighborhood and community that don't know you, and help us be able to reach out in more ways to the community. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we've had this week with food needs in our neighborhood, that we can meet that. And we thank you that we have that outreach happening. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon each person that calls in for assistance. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to not only give them physical food, but also include some spiritual food with a daily bread that they can read and get the message about you and your love. So Lord, we just thank you for those opportunities. Lord, we also just thank you for this country that we live in, for the freedoms that we have. Lord, we just pray for leaders within our country that you will turn their hearts to you. And Lord, as there's been an election in the United States, Lord, we know that impacts Canada. And Lord, we just pray for transformation and leadership that is seeking after your will and what you would have for the country. So Lord, we just pray that for your intervention and sovereignty. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that are in other countries that undergo persecution at times. And Lord, we just pray for the Kwaks and the Susies. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with them as they serve you in faraway places. Lord, we also just pray for people in countries that have difficulties and persecutions that we can't even imagine what they go through. But Lord, you know what it is, and you can be there and bring them comfort and safety. So we pray for their safety, Lord. Lord, as we continue in this service, we just pray that you will speak to us, help us to hear your word, and Lord, not only hear it here in this place, but to take it with us and share it when we leave. And we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I hear the mic there pop in. You probably don't need it because I've got a big voice. I've been told I have a big mouth. So, no. Yeah, how could that be? Well, good morning. Good to have you here. In a minute, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Trevor, who's going to share something as well. But did you get a kind of a theme developing there in all those songs? Okay, what's the key word?
Shepherd.
Okay, you couldn't miss it. You just nailed it over and over and over again in those songs. That was good. I appreciate that. So this morning we're going to look at a psalm that is very familiar to us. I'm just curious, how many people, and I won't ask you to stand up and say it, but how many of you, let's do this, how many of you have heard read before Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, keep your hands up. Now, how many of you memorized Psalm 23? Keep your hands up. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right. This is such a common passage of Scripture. And for those of you who don't know it, you will know it because you're going to go to a funeral someday and it's going to be read there. And it's probably the most common passage of Scripture that's read at funerals. But I want you to know what we're going to look at today, that this passage of Scripture is not meant for funeral. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's appropriate, but it's meant for life. And I think it has some real guidance for how we live our lives. And then on top of that, it's a beautiful, comforting psalm at funerals, right? Maybe we'll read it, you know? I'm just joking. You're supposed to laugh at that. All right. What I would like to introduce you today and talk about is that our lives are part of a bigger, grander story that God is writing. The events, good and bad, have purpose. The events in your life, good and bad, have purpose in God's bigger, grander story, whether you can see it or not. And what we choose to believe about the stories of our lives has a tremendous impact on the trajectory in the future of our lives. Does that make sense? I'm saying that God is writing a big, grand narrative, this story that starts before creation and will go on through all of eternity. God is the author of this story. He is writing this story, and he invites you to play a part in that story. But how you view that story, how you interpret life or your interpretation of that story will have a huge impact on your participation and the role you play in that story. That makes sense? Hopefully by the end we'll get there. I am 62 years old. And I say that because I'm at the point in my life where now I'm going, well, man, if I read of somebody passing away in the newspaper, what they would say is 62-year-old man, you know, passed away. And I'd go, oh, he had a pretty good life. Isn't that terrible? I used to think that. In fact, years ago, if I read that, I thought, oh, you know, he was an old guy. Now I think, oh my goodness, he was so young. But the writer of the story is probably 23, and some editor, and oh, he's a 62-year-old man. And I'm starting to think about my own mortality. I'm starting to look at life tremendously different today than I did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And the way I look at life now, I'm thinking, oh, what do I want for the next 20 years of my life and the next 30 years of my life? And I'm thinking, like my wife and I are talking about that. How are we going to spend the next 30 years? And I always add an extra 10 years. I could say how I'm going to spend the next 10 years or 20 years of my life, but then I go, no. I want to live well beyond 80. And so I'm thinking, well, how do we live our next 30 years of our lives? And how do we bless as many people as possible? That's the question we are asking in our house right now, is how are we going to live the next 30 years? But you know what? We don't know that, right? Our lives could end this afternoon or tomorrow or next week. We don't know how many days in this story that God has written for us that we have. But that's what we're thinking about. But how I view the future of my life will have a tremendous impact on how I live it. Paul said this, "If in Christ we have hope only for this life, we are to be pitied more than most." And Paul was saying, if your story is that this life is all that matters, if you have no hope for a future beyond this present world, then you're to be pitied. And he says, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you're going to die. Those weren't his exact words, but that was his sentiment. That if it's only for this life, then just take what you can get right now. But he says, but if there is a bigger, grander story, if the resurrection of Jesus is real and there is hope for eternity as well, then how we live this life has tremendous impact on the next. How we view our story will change how we live. We all have a story. You have a story. If I was to meet you and you came in for a job interview at my place of work, the first thing I would ask you is, I've seen your resume and I've read all of the good things you've done. Now, unlike work, or don't tell me about work, but tell me about you. Tell me your story. And people would say, well, I have hobbies and I like to do this. And they would start to tell me all the different parts of their lives. What they're telling me is their story. And if they are really thinking, they'd start when they're young and say, well, I grew up in this home and I have this. And they would tell me that story. My story is that I have highs and lows in my life. I grew up as a family of 6 kids. I was number 6. So I was the baby of the family. I was spoiled. But on top of that, my parents ran a business. They ran a Christian bookstore at the time, and my dad worked at Chrysler's too. So they were busy. And I was the 6th child. So you know how much attention I got? Like, I think they forgot that I existed at times. And that was okay, but it led to a lot of trouble for me. And what I found was, and now looking back, doing therapy, I look back and I go, you know what? I was crying out for attention. As the 6th child and this big, rambunctious, everybody in my family has big opinions, we're loud, we like to laugh, and I just was getting lost. And so my trouble in school was probably me just desperate for somebody to hear me and to notice me. And now I find that quite fascinating because it shaped who I am. That's part of my story. And then I had an incident in high school where I did some stupid things and I hurt people and I got in trouble. I got kicked out of school for a little while and all of that. And that set a new trajectory of my life. And that's part of my story and how I respond to that. And how my parents influenced me in that set me in this kind of trajectory. And I thought, oh, I got to get serious about my faith. And then I got married and met the woman of my dreams and we had 5 kids together. But in the middle of that, we had some tragedy. And that caused us to really depend on the Lord. That's part of our story. And then through that, we ran our own businesses, and we lost the businesses. And I would say they kind of failed. They did. They failed. And that set us back. But you know what? We see God's hand in that because he was setting me up for teaching me how to run business and how to survive through that. And now I'm experiencing real success in somebody else's business, and we're experiencing that. So my point is, we have ups and downs. That's my story. You have a story that is very similar, except it probably is a little different family dynamics and a little bit highs and lows, but you have highs and you have lows. Isn't it true? Well, just think for a minute here what your greatest highs were, the good times. Think about it. What would they be? And then think, what were the lowest points of your life? the hard times, the painful times. That's part of your story, and it shaped who you are today. And here you are. We're all sitting at Ambassador Baptist Church. If we had a pin, we'd put a little pin on the map and says, you are here today. And God has got you here today. We're all in this together. God is writing your story. He is writing my story. But how you interpret your story will dramatically change the continued trajectory of your life. Does that make sense? All right. We're going to look at Psalm 23, and my goal this morning, to be honest with you, I have a very small goal. I have low expectations for what I can achieve here in 25, 30 minutes. But my expectations are this, that you would take that piece of paper. Does everybody have Psalm 23? Who doesn't have it? We'll get you one. I think we have enough. Do you have a copy of Psalm 23? Do we have any more, Kevin? You need one? Okay, we'll get you one. Anybody else missing one? Okay. My expectation, my goal for you this morning is that this psalm, which is God's word, written by David, King David, you've heard of David, written by David, my hope is that you'll take some ideas from here, have some fresh insights, but you'll take it home and that you'll just be meditating and thinking about this, and you'll let this psalm, this passage of scripture, kind of just flow over you, because you will experience something different than I will. And I've been thinking about this for the last 5-6 weeks. I've been meditating on it. I learned this as a little child. We learned it around the dinner table. We taught it to our kids around the dinner table. I'll never forget our 3-year-old as we were memorizing it with our 5 kids. And she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want to." And that was her interpretation. And I go, "Oh, okay, this is good. We have a long way to go here." But at 2 or 3, she was starting to get this in her head. And it's so valuable to get this scripture in your head and to think about it and meditate it. God will speak to you more than I could ever tell you in the days to come. If you'll just put this on your mirror at home, and every morning for the next few weeks, you just think about this. It's a great psalm to pray. "Lord, I know you are my shepherd. I know I have everything I need, but I forget that. Will you keep reminding me? You lead me to green pastures. Will you still my soul today and refresh my soul as I walk through times that I don't understand, God? Would you lead me on paths of righteousness or on good paths? Will you help me make decisions today, Lord? And God, I feel like I'm going through a dark valley, and I'm in a painful time. God, here's all my problems," and you tell them your problems. And you can go on and on. You just pray this psalm. You're praying back God's words to him, his ideas, and it will shape your prayers. It'll shape your life. Anyways, that's a freebie. That's an aside. I got off track. Forgive me. Let's read this psalm together, okay? This is Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it to you. You have it on the paper there. We're going to read it together. I'll read it out loud. You read it silently. And then I'll read it to you a second time, okay? So let's just read this in case you haven't heard it before. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to read this one more time, but this time I'd like you just to close your eyes, and I'm going to read it to you. And what I would like you to do is just any verse or any word that captures your attention, I want you to grab hold of that and just think about it. And we're going to ask the Lord just to reveal something to you or just capture your attention with something. And then I might ask you about it. One or two can just share. Okay? But listen, what is it that resonates with you? If you don't mind, close your eyes. Be present. God is present here. You be present as well. And let me read this over you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody want to share just one word, passage, phrase that captured your attention? Mike? Refreshes my soul. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever needed your soul refreshed? Beautiful, beautiful. I say that to my kids all the time. I say, is it well with your soul? Is it good with your soul? The soul is, in other words, the Old and New Testament uses the word soul and heart intermingled. So he refreshes my heart. I can remember as a young man, in a very busy time in business, my mother coming up to me and saying, learn to be still inside. And I knew exactly what she meant. See, you can be running and doing all this stuff that you got to get done, but you can also learn to be still in your heart and in your soul, where you're quiet, where God speaks to you in the midst of the busy day, hectic, taking care of kids, working at the bank, doing all those things. You can learn to be quiet in your soul. He can refresh your soul. Anybody else? Yes. Man. Yeah. You want to tell us why that captures your attention?
Well, because this world we're going through, I mean, fear is something, everybody's anxious for.
Yes.
And we don't rely on the fact that he's infinitely with us.
Yes. Yes. I think we will spend all of our lives learning to let fear go. It's everybody in this room resonates with fear, correct? We all have fear. To be human is to have fear. And fear can be good. Fear is what keeps us from running out in the road and getting hit by a bus. You know, fear keeps us in boundaries, but fear also can be debilitating. You know, I was talking to my receptionist the other day, and we were talking about, I don't know how we got onto it, about sleeping, and she said, sometimes I wake up and I just feel dread in the night. And I go, oh, Jane, I know that feeling. That's my experience. And so what do? I quote, in the last 6 weeks, I've been quoting Psalm 23 to myself. I wake up in the middle of the night, and it's an issue I have. I preached on this not too many weeks ago on fear. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and I have fear. And so I quote, Lord, you are my shepherd. I have everything I need. And you know what happened when in the morning, tell me if this works for you, in the morning I get up and I think of all those fears. I'm going, are you kidding me? Why is it at 3 in the morning? That makes me afraid. I get up in the morning, I go, it's so stupid. I got this. We got this, Lord. Darkness has a way of causing fear. Someone else, one more person. The psalm, yes. I lack nothing. Do you believe that all the time?
No.
No. No. But in the heart of hearts, do you believe it?
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Let's walk through this just for a minute here. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Thank you. Great segue. Or I have everything I need. Or because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. If you were to take a pen, maybe you can do this at home, just take a pen and circle every time. It says, the Lord, or he, and me, and my. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He refreshes my soul. This is a very intimate passage of Scripture. 16 times he uses the word me or I, and 12 times he uses in this short, he says he or my Lord. He refers to God. This is an intimate view of the shepherd taking care of the sheep. This was David's context, and he's saying, I am that sheep. I am the one we just sang about. He says, but the Lord knows me. Not the Lord knows the world, not for God so loved the world. God loved me. It's an intimate, personal passage of Scripture, and this is what you are invited to. So if your life story does not see and does not have a view of God loving me. Yes, I know he loves the world, and this is good news. But if your story does not have included at the heart of it that he loves me, you're missing out on the good news. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said he loves me. And this is at the heart of the shepherd's story, and it's at the heart of your story. So how do you view, what story do you tell yourself? Do you tell yourself that God passionately loves me and has proven that? Because that is at the very, very core of your story. It needs to be. If it's not, you're not telling yourself the good, best news, the story God is writing for your life. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. What story do you believe? What story do you tell yourself? And then he gives me everything I need, as you just so wonderfully said. Do we believe it? Because that has a huge impact. He is king of the universe. He has everything at his disposal. But most of us live in a scarcity mentality versus an abundance mentality. Do you know the difference? A scarcity mentality sees you become successful, and I think, oh, that should be me. Because you think there's only so much to go around. So if you're successful, somehow, subconsciously, I can't be successful. But an abundance mentality says, oh, I'm so excited for your success. Congratulations, and I want to see you do well, because I don't think there's a limited supply. I believe that God can take care of your needs, and he will take care of mine in a different way. Scarcity mentality leads to jealousy and to envy and all kinds of warped, distorted stories. But an abundance mentality that believes that God will take care of me in the way that I need to be taken care of leads to a beautiful story that's connected to the God who knows me and loves me and gave himself for me. So the question is, what story do you tell yourselves, or are you telling yourself? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, as we've been reminded. Have you been to places where life is good? But even in times of insecurity or hard times, deep down, he can refresh our soul, as I alluded to. When we learn to be still and go to those places of pasture and quiet in our hearts while the world is in chaos around us, I'm not suggesting we live in some false utopia where everything is good, but I am suggesting that in the chaos of the world, God, through his Spirit, can restore and refresh and quiet in our hearts as if we were walking beside still waters or green pastures. And then the words that I love most of all in this, the one that has gripped me for the last couple of weeks, is he guides me on paths of righteousness. That's the King James. So I learned the Psalm 23. If you learn Psalm 23, did you learn the King James? Isn't it beautiful? I will admit that for this passage, it's much better. But not for the rest of the Bible. But for this passage, it is so much better. He leadeth me and guideth me along paths of righteousness. And what that really means, paths of righteousness mean ways that are right. God guides you on right paths, and he says, Stu, don't go that way. That will not end well for you. And I go my own way anyways, and you know what? It does not end well for me. He guides me on paths of righteousness. He says, walk this way, and your life will be better. Live within the boundaries of my commands and my ideas of the best life for you, and you'll experience the fullness, the abundant life, when you choose to obey and to follow his guidance. He leads me on those paths. Whether I choose to follow him is up to me. But he leads me on paths for righteousness for his name's sake. And that means he will be honored and he will be glorified. God is honored when you live your fullest and best life. When you live the best story he has written for you, he is honored. Because he is pleased as the father. You, if you're a parent and you see your children just killing it and just doing right, and they're doing the right things and they're learning to live by the characters and morals and everything you long for them, don't you just feel like you have been honored and you just want to boast about them? And this is similar. It's his name, his reputation. And I don't like to use that word reputation, but for his name's sake. When I live my fullest life, God is most pleased. And that is what the author is getting to there. When you choose your own paths, when you choose not to follow his paths of rightness or righteousness, how does that usually end up for you? But if you believe a story that says, Stu, if I follow his ways, it will go well for me, even if I don't see it now, it paints a beautiful story, the story he intended. It's a much better story to believe that following him fully leads to the best life, and he will be most honored in that. Even though I walk through darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The reality is there will be times in our lives that are dark. It may be near-death experiences. They'll be hurtful. They'll be painful. Some of us in this room, you have probably experienced things that you haven't told anybody else. They're too dark. They're too painful to share on a Sunday morning. You only share them with your closest friends and maybe not even them sometimes. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm going to tell you this. This is so true. The story you choose to believe about your life and about God during the darkest times is most important. Because if you choose a story where God doesn't care, he doesn't see my pain, he doesn't know what's going on, it can lead to a very discouraging and depressing story. But if you believe what all the New Testament and all of Scripture tells us, that even in the darkest valleys, he is with you, even when you can't see it, oh, it leads to a much more beautiful story. If you believe, like Romans 8, 28, 29 says, that God works for the good of those who love him. And he works all things out together. He will take your most painful experiences and he will use those to teach you and to shape you and to help you. And one day he will wrap them all together and show you what he was doing while you were going through. Not that he caused those painful things that other people may have done to you. Not that he caused those things that happened to you, but that he took those things and he brought them and weaved them together for good. If you will believe that story, oh, it can have a beautiful ending. Because God is always working behind the scenes when we can't see it. Do you believe that? It's a beautiful story David is telling us that we choose to believe or can choose to believe. So I have a friend named Trevor. Trevor came with me this morning, and we've been talking about these things for the last couple of weeks and couple of months. And we keep coming back to this, and I keep asking Trevor, and we talk. I say, Trevor, what story do you believe? Tell me the story you're choosing to believe. And so I asked him to come with us this morning, and he's just going to share a little bit about the story, his story, and then we'll wrap up with the rest of Psalm 23. Good? Is this what you want, Kevin?
Do I need a mic or?
You need a mic. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. There we go. Is this too far away or? Perfect. Awesome. So, yeah, good morning, everybody. As Stu said, my name is Trevor Kretsch, and we, you know, the funny thing about Stu is that he's very purposeful with what he has me do. You know, sorry, by the way, my voice is a little raspy because I'm just getting over a cold, so bear with me here. But, yeah, he's very purposeful, to be honest. He, I mean, if anybody knows me, which, I mean, only a few here do, that I like to complain. I like to moan and groan and say how life just isn't fair sometimes. And Mike can hardly contain himself. I think after hearing that, he knows it very well. So, but yeah, he's very, Psalm 23 is something I wrestle with. Really, like, I'm glad that Stu had me sit with it and Stu had me read it over, reflect on it, gave me some amazing, amazing things to think about and just to, I mean, he worded it perfectly about saying how, you know, what is the story you're telling yourself, right? What is the story that you're believing? So, yeah, with that being said, if you don't mind, I would like to pray just real quickly. So, Lord, I just, I want to lift you up high right now in this moment, Lord God, and I just pray against any kind of fears or anxieties, Lord God. I just pray that, if my story can touch anybody today, that it would be used for your glory and your goodness, Lord. And, I just pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, the story that I'm trying every day to learn to teach myself is that that we have a God that is provided, protected, and prepared a way for me every day. Personally, I've throughout life have approached it in a way of with this, some people would coin it as a defeatist or a defeated attitude, immediately going to the negative, anticipating what terrible possible things that could happen, and just meditating on that. You know, where David we have here, he speaks about how he can walk through the valley of shadow of death, and says he fears no evil. How he can have comfort in God in these moments where he knows that his rod and his staff protects him. Where I tend to fixate on it. I tend to fixate on the valley where hope that maybe analyzing it or something that I might feel more prepared. And then he also goes and says that he lacks nothing, where I think, you know, the story I tell myself at times where I lack everything. I could lack willpower, strength, knowledge, discipline, worldly achievements, or even big life milestones that I think I deserve or I've earned, and so on. So the struggle recognized was stems from things that I believe about myself, things that my upbringing shaped around me, where experiences that caused me to believe these things. Like I had a father who, that he taught constantly that nothing I did or said or could do would ever be right. You know, he would at times just simply call me up for unprovoked for no reason to just let me know that how much of a disappointment I was. He wanted me to know that I just was not going to ever grow up, you know, that I would always just be worthless. And because of that teaching, I would gravitate to people who also talked to me like that. So there was periods of times, years that's all I heard was how. Yeah. But yeah, it was long, and that's the thing, is that I felt the story of my life was that was nothing, and it caused me to live that way. It caused me to approach everything in that way, that I was worthless, and it got me into troubles. It got me doing things that caused me to be kicked out of my program. I was in my last semester of nursing. I was kicked out because of things I did, right? And rightfully so. And then I would do things that would cause reckless behaviors where I ended up doing irreversible damage to my spine as well. And it was because what I believed, who I was. The hardest thing was, when I was writing all this, I was trying to make connections of, that's who I was, and God made me somebody else. You know, and I'm trying to think, and I was wrestling and trying to figure out what happened, what did I do? You know, what did God say through me to change my way of living, where he brought me from a life of just feeling defeated and anxious and worthless and to being surrounded by people who love me and care for me. And to let you guys know now, my dad says he's proud, you know? But, man, I didn't think it was going to be this hard to talk about.
It's good. It's okay.
But, yeah, like, he'll... Yeah, but I think Steve's hitting on something really good. Where, you know, God has walked through the entire time in that valley, you know, and I was miserable, undeserving. And yeah, he was there present the entire time, not doing anything miraculous, not, you know, coming in and saving the day, pulling me out of the situation and being like, you look at this amazing, awesome thing I've done, and let me just bless you and load you with all these great and wonderful things and save your life and make it all. You know, he allowed the valley and allowed me walk through it. And I wanted to say that he forced it, but he didn't. Stu often tells me that sometimes life just has valleys, you know, that it often just, you go through hard times and it's just life. And the amazing thing is that we have a God that is with us during that time. He's not forcing us into it. He's not trying to demean us or hurt us or make us feel any kind of pain, but he's trying. He knows that this life has the fear that you talk about, has the times that it's just, you know, it feels like nothing's going to ever go right. And it's just, that's just life, you know. But the amazing thing is that we have a God that is with us the entire way through and is protecting us and guiding us and doing these things that we probably, you know, we'll never really fully notice what he's doing or see what he's doing, but the rod and the staff, they're guiding and protecting, and there is comfort in that, and knowing that there is this amazing story that is being unfolded that is the bigger picture, you know. Now, like, let's say that my dad is somebody that I thought would never speak anything positive with me, and now he can't stop, right? And it's nothing that I've done, like. So, yeah, one of the biggest takeaways that I want to take from this is that it's all about the approach. I think David realized that. And, yeah, we got to – life is – if you look at life, it's just, you know, such a small story, and it's just all about pain and hurt and disappointment. It's going to be that, right? But if you look at life as that – God is a shepherd, and where we lack nothing, that he is, like you said, that he is a shepherd. We lack nothing because he has everything, right? Where every situation, every good thing, every valley is like, yeah, it's hard, and it's not, and it could go on for decades, but he is a good father. So, yeah, the story that I want to be confident in is just the story that he is my shepherd, that I lack nothing. That he is a good father, that even in the shadow of valley of death, that I will fear no evil, not because of anything that I've done, anything that I can do, but because his rod and his staff comforts me, you know. And yeah, that even in these times where you feel like you're just surrounded by enemies, he is still anointing you. So yeah, that is my story.
So I appreciate that, Trevor. Thanks for doing that. I knew it would capture your heart. But that's what the scripture should do. And so I just challenge you as we just wrap up these last verses here with Psalm 23. What is the story you're telling yourself? Are you telling yourself a real story? That God is my shepherd, that he leads me. I have everything I need. David finishes, let's just finish these. The rod and staff that you refer to, you know the shepherd, you've probably heard this, and I'm not going to belabor it, but the staff was the walking stick the shepherd would have. It would bring the sheep back. He could grab the hook, right, that gabs us, and we sang it, Lord, keep us near. And we just sang about that, the shepherd. And then the rod was the weapon that was used, the stick that would be thrown, it would be used to protect and guard. And a lot of times, commentators like to think his rod and staff is equivalent of the word of God and the spirit of God that is there to protect and to direct and to lead us. But then he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, if you're a shepherd, you have a lot of enemies. And David had a lot of enemies in his life. He was a man of war. We don't have the same kind of enemies. Probably you don't have people that are out to kill you. Maybe if you do, then you have a second life that I'm probably not privy to. But we do have enemies. Fear, anxiety, low self-esteem, depression, financial struggle, angry neighbors. You could go on. Maybe an abusive past. Maybe relationships. And what the picture is that David comes into the desert surrounded by enemies, and there God has prepared a table for him. And if Trevor and I were talking about this last week, but what is that about? Say, well, when you sit down to eat, you're very unprotected. It's not a posture of protection or war. It's a posture of peace. And I was thinking about that. Jesus calls us to his table, right? And then he asks us to invite our enemies to come and sit with us at that table. Jesus said to love your enemies, to pray for those who persecute you. There's just this beautiful picture here. And then he goes on to say, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as I've been meditating and just repeating this, so the concept of meditation and what I'm hoping you'll go home and do is just repeat this psalm to yourself until you've memorized it. And what I noticed for the very first time, you anoint with my head with oil, and I think it should say, so that my cup overflows. You anoint me with oil, and you want my cup to overflow and bless everyone else. That is God's story. It's been that way since Genesis, and it ends that way. God's plan for the church is they would be so anointed with his spirit that the whole world would know. They will know you are Christians. Why? By my love, by your love. Your head will be anointed with oil. The spirit will be upon you, and your cup will overflow. It won't be able to contain it, and everybody will be blessed by that. God in Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says that you are Christ's ambassadors because God's love compels you. He says he has loved you not to keep it to yourself. He fills you with his spirit. He gives you this good story, and that part of that story is participating in what God is doing in calling the whole world to himself. Yes, God loves you, and we must have that at the core of our story. But he loves you so that he can love everybody else as well. Amen? And here's the beautiful thing. Surely goodness. Now, these aren't three ants that you might have. Goodness, mercy, and surely. The King James is surely. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you. And it's a picture of two servants who follow you everywhere you go. And their names are mercy and goodness. And they're always pursuing you because God is pursuing you with his love. Isn't that a beautiful story? So my question for you today is this. What story are you telling yourself? What story do you play over in your mind? Is it this story where God is leading you and guarding you through the good times and the valleys of darkness, that he is pursuing you and anointing you with his spirit and loving you so you can bless others, and he promises to pursue you with goodness and mercy all the days of your life? Or are you telling yourself another story that is far from good news? Because it will create the trajectory of your future. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning, and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful psalm that thousands of years later is so appropriate to our lives today. So God, would you bless us with it in the days to come? Will you help us just to meditate on it? And would you continue to teach us this wonderful story that David knew and that you call us to know? And we ask this in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen.